Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
A little flimsy. Negotiating with God, spoken like a true lawyer there. That's awesome. Well, it's great to finally be here, here with you guys. Love this church. Every time that we come here over the past 4 or 5 years, it's always a joy to come here. And so we're super excited to actually not just visit, but become a part with you all. We're so glad to be connected and bonded in. And it's a little bit, I think I shared this last week, it's a little bit humbling to follow in the footsteps of Pastor Casey, who was this, you know, really a legend for his work in the underground church and all that he's done there, the influence and the impact that he's had on one of the really the largest moves of God in our lifetime in China, the major role that he played there. And then following the footsteps of a brilliant lawyer like Kevin Na, you know, I have a bachelor's degree from that bastion of upper education, University of Hawaii. You know, where we're known for our surfing and hanging out at the beach. But it's great to be here. And I'm so excited. We made it through the quarantine, the isolation. It was good. Just actually, you know, what was really special about that time was just being able to spend time with the Lord as we arrived here. And it was really a significant time just to be able to have kind of everything else cleared out and be able to focus on him and recognize, once again, affirm why I'm here. As much as I love you all, I'm really not here for you primarily. As much as I know God has prepared me for this, I'm not here because of me primarily. I'm here primarily because of God. What he's doing, how much he loves you guys, and the work that he's doing here. And the great privilege of being invited to join with God in what he's doing here. And so that's what I'm excited about. Because God is at work here and he has so much more to do that he wants to do. And he's invited all of us to be a part of that. So, I want to do a little something here as we begin. I want you all to stand. Would you stand with me? Because my being here is really not about me. It's really about God and what he's doing with us. With the body of Christ here. Because that's what he loves. And so I want to take a moment as we begin and I want to pray. I want to pray for us here. And I'm going to just pray a prayer of consecration and dedication. To consecrate myself to this work. I'm going to ask my wife to come on up with me this year. You know, I don't have any kids, but if I did, there's only one woman on earth that I'd want to be the mother of my children. And that's her. That's you. Woo! And that was our sweet moment right there. That's called trying to earn brownie points, or for the Filipinos here, pogi points. Not really. It's really my heart. And there's nothing like being able to do ministry with people that you love. You know, to do something you love with people that you love. And so being able to be here with my wife and doing ministry, so many of you that I've known for years that I love. Bertina, the very first homegrown from New York City, our church there, first homegrown missionary that we sent out who came to know the Lord, was trained up and sent out. She's here. That's awesome. She was in the internship. I think you were in the second class or first class? First class. The very first class of interns that we raised up. And then Kevin and Jalen, who have just been such close friends. I know he says like a spiritual father, but really we've just been friends. And it's been exciting. It's been exciting to be here, you know, to be able to join with friends in ministry, hang out together, do life together. And above all, with the God who loves us. To be able to join him, to hear his voice inviting me to say, come on in and join in this work that I'm doing. And I say, yes, Dad, here I come. So would you bind your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we are just so excited in this moment. God, as we step into, Lord, in our a new season in our lives for Terry and I, and a new season in the church, joining with him in the work that you've, Lord, already been doing here, this wonderful work that you've raised up, that you've built. And God, we want to be careful how we build upon this work as we join with you. We consecrate ourselves, Lord God. We dedicate ourselves to you and to your glory, to your work. Lord, to the things that are on your heart. May you be honored, Lord God. And today, Lord, we do also just invite you to come and to speak to us. That this would be more than just a time of introduction or information, but truly, Lord, our hearts would be transformed by hearing your voice. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come, minister to us. And Father, we just take a moment right now also to pray for our brothers in Myanmar and Hong Kong, out here in Asia, Lord God, who are under, Lord, just increasing repression and persecution. We pray for the believers there. We pray for the communities there. And Father God, we're praying for a relief and justice to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Ah, thanks. I have this clicker because sometimes I like to control things and control the PowerPoint. But the truth is, I'm probably just going to be them back there doing it because I get lost when I start preaching. And I haven't been doing this very often. We don't even have one of these in our church in New York. With all the high tech stuff, so the only time I ever use these is when I come out to Asia, because you guys are just ahead of us. So here we go. So this series that we're preaching on today, we're kicking off. It's called Faith, Hope, and Love: The Building Blocks of Life. And you know, as I was just getting ready and saying my first sermon as the pastor here, there's so much that I want to share and communicate. And I was just had pages of stuff, thoughts and ideas as I thought of different ones of you, as I thought of things that have happened in my life that I want to share with you, as I thought of your lives and the things I wanted to speak and communicate and share with this church. And I thought, you know, when I get in those moments where there's just like too much to share and too much to do, or it gets confusing, let me tell you, this past year has been a lot of confusing, especially over there in the States. In those moments, I have a tendency to want to go back to the main things and the plain things. I want to go back to the foundational things, the things that I know for sure, the things that I know that in every situation, every circumstance, every time are going to be unchanging. And so as I was thinking through, what do I want to preach in this, the first sermon, the first series that we come? And so the scripture that came to mind that I feel like the Lord was speaking to me was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And this is going to be our theme scripture for this series. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And it says this: three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So I thought, you know, we want to preach and lay a solid foundation in your lives. A foundation, the things that have been unchanging, that will last forever. Because we want to build this church in a way that's going to last, that's going to be able to grow and multiply. It's going to be a solid foundation upon which others can build, upon which and in which you all can grow, and that we can multiply. And so this is what the scripture says: three things that will last forever: faith and hope and love. And so that's what we're going to preach on: faith and hope and love, because these are foundations that you can build your life on that you know will be unshaking. And so we're going to just unpack these. We're going to take the first three Sundays and just unpack what faith is. We're going to unpack what hope is. And then the third Sunday, we'll unpack what love is. Then it says the greatest of these is love. And we're going to say, why is love the greatest? And then Easter Sunday, April 4th, we're just going to talk about the greatest love of all: Jesus laying down his life, and how love, it says earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, 8, how love never fails. And you don't want to miss that. Because when you get a hold of that in your life, when you not just know about one, but when you experience the love of God, There's going to be a faith in you, a hope in you, a love in you that will never fail, that will be unshakable, that will overflow to touch the lives of others. And in the end, that's what we want to do. We're not here just to say, how good of a life can we have? I'm not here to help you have a good life. I am here to help you be a reflection of the of our Heavenly Father and be able to share what He's given us with others around us. All right, that's the greatest joy in life. So today we're going to look at three things. We're going to just define when we talk about faith as the building block of life. We're going to say, what are we talking about? Because faith is a word that we hear all the time, and it has many different meanings to it. But in this particular context, as a building block of your life, what's the definition of faith? And then we're going to talk about why we should build our lives on faith. What's the benefit of that? What are the implications of building our life on faith? And last of all, we're going to say, so now how do we do it? How do we build our lives on faith? Okay, so I want to start off by sharing a little bit of the context of the scripture. Because if you're like me, when I read that scripture, I think wedding bells, marriage, you know, a woman in a white dress. And this verse is so often used as in weddings that we think that Paul is writing it to couples, you know, young marriage. And for all the singles out there, I was single for a long time, 50 years. Yeah. And yeah, what? How did that happen? You know, so I was asking myself the same question. How did that happen? You know, they had that movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I was a 50-Year-Old Virgin. And every time we'd have a guest speaker, my friends would come in. They would never let me forget it. You know, they would just, all throughout the sermon, they would just make fun of me for being a 50-Year-Old Virgin. So what was the point here they're making? Oh, okay, so that's right. Number one, we love singles. See, being singles is a great time of life. So enjoy the moments, because once you're married, you're no longer single. So enjoy your time of being single. You know, there's some people who they spend their whole lives complaining about what they're not. The single people would spend all their time complaining about, oh, I'm not married, you know. People who don't have money complain about the whole time about, I don't have money, you know. And then when you have money, it's just, I have so many headaches from all this money. You know, what do I do with my money? And is it going to, I'm up all night, you know, is are the stocks going down? Then people get married and think, oh, man, I you know, this is so much work being married and having kids. I wish I was single again. Enjoy where you are. Amen. So we're going to help you singles. We want you to enjoy where you are, but we also are going to love having you get married since we're married. We just think that since we're married and we love it, that you should be married too. So anyway. Anyway, that is not the context of this verse, this chapter. Paul is actually, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Let me give you the context. Paul says, I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So who is Paul writing to? He's writing to a specific church. This is the letter to the Corinthian church. So he's writing and addressing certain things in that specific church. But the reason why this book, this letter, was included in the Bible is what Paul says here. This actually, he says, I'm also writing to everyone who believes. Anyone. So Paul is writing to you. This letter is for you. And it's not just for you on your wedding day. It's not for you just when you're feeling romantic. It's for you in how you be a Christian. So it is written to believers. So those of you who are here today who don't know Christ yet, what are you waiting for? there's going to be something in here for you, because faith, and we're, as we talk about faith, you're going to see that it affects every person and all of life. That's why God says it's so important as a building block of life. It's not just for religious people. Everybody who's human actually needs and functions by faith already. It's just what that faith looks like and where what you put that faith in. So this is written to you. It's written to the church. It's written to us to how to be the church. So today we're talking about how to be the church. Definition of faith. Number one, faith is, it's not religion. That's a little equal sign with a slash that means not. Okay, but that is one of the definitions of faith, is a religious system. Which faith do you belong to? Well, you know, I'm the Muslim faith, I'm the Christian faith, I'm the Jewish faith. You know, there's these different faiths, and one of the definitions of faith is like a religious system. But that's not what we're talking about here, because you don't want to build your life on a religious system. Romans chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are." So what he's saying is, no matter how good you are at keeping rules, and religions are great at making rules, making protocols, making rituals. That's what religions are great at. But Paul is saying to the Romans, guess what? You're never going to be made right by keeping laws. In fact, the more laws you have, it's just the more people who are going to be criminals, because we all break the laws. That's true. I think America has more laws than any other nation, if I'm not mistaken, and more prisoners than any other nation. Because that's all the law does. Exactly what Paul said. It just tells you you're a sinner. It just tells you you messed up, because all of us mess up. Welcome to the fellowship of the mess ups, you know, the gathering of the unfinished. So we're not talking about here having a system of beliefs. We're not talking about joining a religion. A religion is not a building block for life. The second thing is that faith is not, what we're talking about today, is not just simply believing. It's not just giving mental assent. It's not just being convinced in our minds of something. James chapter 2, verse 19. "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." So belief is not enough. I heard one preacher once say, you know, you can believe in taking baths, but if you don't take a bath, it doesn't help anything. You know, I don't want to be around you. Yes, I believe they're really going to keep you clean. A lot of people believe in dieting and exercise, but you look at them and you realize they don't actually exercise. They just believe in it. Yeah, I know exercise really good. All the guys who sign up for the gym on January 1st, you know, and never visit again for the rest of the year. We believe we are intellectually convinced that exercise and eating right is good for us, but we don't practice it. That's not a foundation you want to build your life on. So we don't want to build our life on faith as a religious system. We don't want to build our lives on faith as a belief, ability to believe. It's funny how, but what we do want to build our faith on is a trust in God. This is the definition of faith. That means that is the building block that you want to build your life on. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." So the faith that we're talking about is a faith that trusts God in everything, with everything. In every situation, our first turn is to say, well, what does God think about this? Because I trust his opinion. I trust that God will know what to do. I trust that God understands what's going on. And that's the faith that we want to build our lives upon. It's this faith of saying, Lord, whatever you say is right, you show me which path to take. There's a big difference between trusting God, and religiously understanding about God. See, God isn't asking us just to embrace a system of principles or a philosophy of life. That's what religion is. Religion is system, you know, systems of belief, philosophies of life, practices to help you in life. Those are all great. But ultimately what faith is, it's embracing a person. It's trusting God. God calls us not to embrace a system of belief, but to embrace him. To love him. And so that's what we're calling us. That's what it means to have faith. Oftentimes, religion is so often to really be good at it takes a lot of work. I don't know if you've ever been a part of a religion. As a Christian, most of my life, I've treated Christianity as a religion rather than a relationship. And I still slip into that, you know, fairly often. And then I find myself just trying to work harder to do good and be good and to do all the things right. And I forget that what God really is calling us to do is not to strive harder, but to surrender to Him. And to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And there's a freedom in that that comes as we surrender to God's opinions. It's funny, I don't know if this happens so much in Taiwan, but in the States, a lot of churches a lot of people like myself, we say, you know, you got to have more faith, and it's all going to come together if you just believe more, and we're just on this believe more, and so, you know, just declare it like you really believe it. Just tell God, you know, you stand on that principle, you stand on that promise, and you tell God what He has to do. And I get this, you got to start to get this idea that God is your servant rather than you being His servant. And can I tell you something? God is like a horrible servant. He never listens to what I tell Him to do. You know, just, God, you should do this. You need to come by this time, God. You got to, you know, heal this person, you know. And God just kind of does His own thing. So bad. You know? But it's really great when you learn to be God's servant. And that's what faith does, because we trust God that He knows what to do. So why do we build our lives on faith? We understand that faith, that the word faith is really interchangeable with trust. It's an attitude and a lifestyle of trust in God. So, but why do we want to build on faith? Number one, it's essential for eternal life. Trusting God, believing in God, is essential for eternal life. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. We are made right with God by placing our faith or our trust in Jesus. And that's true for every single... None of us are made right because we're better than someone else. None of us are made right because we know more scripture or have a better understanding of the Bible than somebody else. What we're made right in is that by trusting in Jesus. You see, trust is essential for eternal life. John chapter 1, verse 12. To all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. So how do we come into God's family? How do we become His sons and daughters? By trusting Him. That's what makes us right. And it's also, trust or faith is essential, not only for eternal life, but it's essential for this life, to live here. Faith isn't only about where I'm going to spend eternity, determining where I spend eternity, but it determines how I live on this life, in this life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The life I live through Christ. And how do I live through Christ? I trust Him in my decisions. I trust Him in my thoughts. So God, what do you think about this? What does the scripture say about this, about how God views these kinds of circumstances? And then I trust God's opinion over my own. That's what it means to live by faith and to trust God. You see, Jesus didn't just die so that we would be forgiven of our sins. Jesus died so that we could live in victory over sin. Our sin, and the sin that permeates this sin-broken world around us. And rather, as Christians, I think sometimes, rather than complaining about what's going on out there, we need to start to get victory in here over sin by trusting God. As we begin to get victory over sin by trusting God in our lives, then we can begin to help others get victory over sin. And in the end, Like Kevin shared today, I want to say Pastor Kevin, Elder Kevin. How many thought Kevin and Jolene did such a great job leading this church for those years? You know, it's so fun. As I talk to my pastor friends out here in Asia who know the church here, and Kevin, they're all like, That's such a great church. It's so healthy. You watch the videos like this and stuff that are posted on. They're always having fun. I love a church that's having fun because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God, nobody likes to be around sad people, right? Complaining all the time. That's not what God created us for. And I can tell you, that's not what heaven's like. It's not a bunch of people sitting around complaining, being sad. And God says we're supposed to be show a little bit of heaven on earth when we're here. So as a church, I love that this is a happy church. And they're telling Bruce, the main thing you got to do over there is just don't mess up what they're doing. You know, you go there, just don't mess it up. Say, yes, okay, I'll do my best. So great job. I'm here not to mess it up. But back to the sermon here, the message. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Again, it's not through our religious system. It's not through our power to be able to believe. It's about we defeat sin and overcome in this life by our ability to trust God. Do you trust God? Do you trust His word? If you don't take anything away from today's sermon, this is one thing. I can trust God. You and I, we have one life to live. One life. And you can either put it in the hands of the God who created you, the God who knows you better than you know yourself. You can put it in the hands of the God who actually created the whole earth and everything in it. You can put it in the hands of the God who knows everything from eternity past all the way into eternity future. He knows how it's going to play out. He knows it all. You can put it in the hands of the God who loves you so much that He sent, our Father God sent the thing most dear to Him, His only Son. He gave it for us. You can put it in His hands. Sometimes I don't even want to sacrifice for myself. But God sacrificed His only Son. Jesus laid down His life. That's how much He loved you. So you can put it in the hands of a God who loves you that much, who's that wise, who is all powerful, the Bible says, who created the world. When I come to like now in Taiwan, as I've been getting ready to move here, I for the first time started looking at like vacation and tourists blogs. Well, what should you see in Taiwan? Where should you visit? Because when we come here, we're always just ministering, and we just want to be around you guys, because that's what we want to see. So rarely do we do any kind of tourism or stuff. But I'm looking at these phones and saying, there are gorgeous places in Taiwan. It's a beautiful island. The God who created this and this is just one small sampling. Imagine if God has all of eternity to create new beautiful things. Beautiful places for us. You can put your one life that you have into His hands, or you can put them into your own hands and just say, well, I've never lived life before. I've never been to tomorrow. I don't even understand myself. I certainly don't understand my wife or my boss or the people around me. You can put it in your hands and, take your chances with that. Or you can put it into the hands of your latest hero on TV, whether it's a sports person or some movie star or singer or rich businessman. And then you find out how horrible their lives are behind the scenes, but you think, well, they got a lot of money. I want to trust what they say about life. Or you can put it in the hands of God. That's kind of like a no-brainer, right? You think about it. That's like, I always loved it, this TV show, Let's Make a Deal. Right, so let's make a deal. You have all these people who dress up crazy. They were like that video of our guys in the scavenger hunt. Everybody dresses up, they all come there because they want to get attention so they can be called up by the MC to go. I don't remember, I think it was Bob Barker was the guy. But, let's make a deal. It says, okay, let's make a deal. You can choose this envelope, what's in this envelope, or what's behind door number one. And they're like, everyone's yelling, the envelope, door number one. Everybody's yelling, and then he opens up the envelope. It's $300. You can have $300 or what's behind door number one. And they're like, oh, get door number one. And everybody's yelling, I'll take door number one. And then they open up door number one, and it's a bale of hay. And they're like, you could have $300 or a bale of hay, and they chose the bale of hay. And we're sad, and we think it's funny. But how sad would it be if they opened up the door and said, you can choose the bale of hay or this envelope which has free vacation, house, you know, and a new car. So here you are. You can have open the contents of this envelope, a new car, free vacation, or you can have the bale of hay behind this door. And they're, oh, should I take the bale of hay or should I take the? But that's like us. I can trust God who loves me, says, I'm making all of heaven available to you, or you can trust yourself. And, you know, yeah, bale of hay. Trust God. Trust God. That's the only thing you got to take away from today is trust God. Have faith in him. I love that we're doing this Bible reading together. It's just so much fun because we read and then people make comments and it's so rich as people share the things they're learning. But there's, as you read through this, you just begin to see again and again and again as people don't trust God. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I'm giving. Deuteronomy 1:32, but even after all he did, you refused to trust the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 9:23, at Kadesh Barnea, the Lord sent you out with this command, go up and take over the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to put your trust in him or obey him. Why? Because these Jews, they, as they're going through the wilderness, they just spent all their time grumbling and complaining and doubting God. And every time that something difficult came up, they grumbled and complained. And we have to ask ourselves, how do I respond to circumstances that are difficult, that I don't understand, that go against what I think should happen, when God's not being a good servant? How do I respond to that, right? How do I respond? Do I grumble, complain? Or do I trust God and say, okay, God, I know you got me. I know it's going to work out. See, building our life on faith means that we trust God, especially when we don't know what's going on. You actually don't need faith if there's no mystery, if there's no mystery, if there's no challenge, if there's nothing, if you're not facing anything that you can't handle, you don't need faith. But then your life will be defined by your ability. And you'll never get beyond what you can handle. And God has so much more than what you can get for yourself if you will trust him. It just requires us to trust God, especially in the difficult times. So how do we develop faith? Number one, learn to listen. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. Faith comes by hearing. Listen to God. It's interesting as we're reading through, we're right now been reading through the where God gives what's called the Shema, which is the number one like command in Scripture. Back in New York, I was overseeing what we call a messianic church, which is they believe in still keeping all the things that the Jews used to do. But they also believe in Jesus as the Messiah, fulfilling all the Jewish things. So they keep all the feasts and every church service they do this. They sing this, the Shema. And I visited some temples, some Jewish temples in New York as well. There's a bunch of Jews there, and so visited. And they do the same thing. They sing the Shema, and every morning, every night, this is what they do. They pray the Shema. And it starts off the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. And there's this thing of listening is fundamental to life the way God intended it. That's where it begins. It begins with listening, hearing what God says. Genesis chapter 2, we go back to the Garden of Eden. And when God placed Adam and Eve at Genesis 2, 15 and 17, he said, you can eat anything you want. All the goodness of the garden is yours, except for one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which to me sounds a lot like church. Know good and evil and then try to be good. But that's the only thing God said don't do. Why? Because when we start trying to know for ourselves good and evil outside of listening to God, outside of hearing his voice, outside of knowing his heart, then we always mess up. And that's why religions have been oftentimes, even Christian churches, have been at the forefront of wars and horrific things in history. Why? Because they've gone away from listening. Our hunger for God's word should come from our listening to God's voice. But too often, we read the word of God without the voice of God. That's how the most religiously educated people in the world in the time of Jesus were the ones who wanted to crucify him. Because learning is not what Christianity is all about. In the end, it's about relationships. Listening. Second thing, believe. 2 Corinthians 3:14. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, wherever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds, so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. You see, we can read the scriptures and not get what God is saying to us at all. Because as you start with the trust, the believing, and then out of that, as you begin to get into the word, all of a sudden now, the word comes alive and it starts ministering life to you. So we listen, we trust, and we obey. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, verse 25, Jesus told this parable. He said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. That's God's call in our lives. All of us will face storms in life. We'll all face trouble and trials in our lives. Being a Christian will not, it won't vaccinate you against trouble in your life. We will all walk through trouble, but how we survive trouble really depends on our level of trust in God. And that trust is always manifested through our obedience. In God's economy, to hear is to obey. They're the same, one and the same. We don't hear. If you're like me, I often hear and then I debate. Okay, God, maybe. Do I have any other offers out there? Do I think, and then I'm comparing my wisdom and intellect versus God's. I think, God, that it might be better doing it this way. But trust. Trust is not winning an argument with God. Trust is surrendering to God. Trust is saying, God, even though I don't understand, I believe and I'm going to obey. Warren Wiersbe is a famous Bible teacher. He said this, God's people live on promises, not on explanation. We're not saved by making promises to God. We are saved by believing God's promises to us. See, so often I hear a promise from God, but I don't understand it, and it doesn't seem to be working the way I think it should work. And so I want God to explain it before I believe it. But faith doesn't come from explanation. It comes from trusting God's promises. Say, okay, God, I don't understand, but that's what Abraham did. God said, go, I'll tell you where later. And what did he do? It's going without knowing. It's leaving without seeing. Last verse. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 says this. Look, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. See, when God calls us, when he gives us instructions, when he gives us a command, it's not because he's up there and saying, I prefer that. I prefer, purple over blue. That's not the commands of God. God, when God gives a command, it's like, don't touch the hot stove. Because if you do, it's going to bring pain into your life. And we're like, is that right? Are you sure? Some people say experience is the best teacher. But I can tell you, experience is a horrible way to learn. I mean, you got to learn not to touch the hot stove by touching the hot stove, and that's the only way. And a preacher wants to say, so this is wisdom, and this is experience. Don't unplug the saw before you grab it. This is learning that by experience. This is learning that by wisdom. Every parent wants their children to learn by trusting them. Look, just trust me. And the kid we all dread having is the one who doesn't want to learn by trust. They want to learn by experience, which is all of us, right? Don't put your finger in the socket. It's just what we do. We do it with God. But God's intention is that you would be blessed. This is what God lives for. And today, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, for some of you, it's trusting God for the first time for eternal life and receiving Christ. Others of you, it's a sin that you're struggling with giving up. Others of you, it's a decision that you have to make. It's a pain in your life, a fear in your life. Wherever it is that God is, wherever it is that you're having a struggle, whatever it is that you feel like God is saying to you, or you feel like, man, I am running into the wall. Today, God wants to meet you in that place. And he's going to give you direction on what to do. As you ask him, God will lead you. So I want to pray for you as we close. Heavenly Father, I pray that right now, your Holy Spirit will just come to each and every one of us and show us the areas in our life where we lack trust. The areas in our life where you're trying to lead us and we are struggling to follow. And God, I pray that a fresh level of trust, a fresh level of faith, Lord God, would infuse us, Lord God, to step out in obedience to your call, to your voice. I thank you, Lord God, that as your sheep, we can know your voice. May we recognize it, listen to it, and follow it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.